There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh! It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy,
and new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay! With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow.
My, oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that Ooh. Culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
And how is Charlotte, North Carolina treating the girl?
You know, I am loving the breweries. I think that's what it's most famous for. Oh, you know what it is? It's a banking town, which is a bummer. I know not everyone here is a banker, but like it really prides itself on being like a bank town. And I'm like, oh, that explains a lot. This is not to poo-poo on Charlotte. It's only to poo-poo on banks.
Well, I'm just saying banks are not the club. It's actually rule of culture number 42. Banks are not the club.
Banks are not the club.
And therefore, you have to go to the breweries to sort of get your kick. So what sort of brews are we sort of ingesting when we get there? Are we an IPA type of girl? Are we some sort of like amber ale type of bitch? Are we that kind of sort of cranky pilsner type? Tell me, Bo.
Girl, all I know is that, like, in the summer, I like to drink a Blue Moon or a Fat Tire.
Wheat
and
beer
then in
queen.
The winter, I guess I like wheat. I don't know beers. And this is actually the thing about Matt is that you're a beer gay, which is so, so dissonant to me.
It's really jarring, even for me. Well, I mean, the sort of bibliography on my life is I sort of came up serving tables, you know, like just like clocking
the bibliography
in, punching the clock and, you know, getting my apron on. And then I would deal in the market
hops.
Of beer. I would deal in hops. And so I worked in an Irish beer bar downtown, way downtown in the financial district with the best clientele who often worked at, say it with me, banks,
which are not the club,
but sometimes the way those fucking dudes would come in for lunch, you'd think they were going back to the club because these men would get absolutely wasted during lunch, during the week, and then go back and run our banks. So just know that I am a primary source and I was down there in the financial district watching these men get wasted and going back to run our banks. I'm sorry I got political and this was supposed to be a fun conversation about hops.
No, it's okay. Really quickly, let's just go over a couple of items of business.
Yeah.
Frank Ocean is selling $25,000 cock rings.
What?
Gold and diamonds. Did you hear about this?
Frank Ocean is selling $25,000 cock rings?
But they're hexagonal. They're a hexagon, but it's really chic. But unfortunately, I'm like, I don't know how to feel about it.
I have a question. Who does he think his clientele is? Who does he think his clientele is that they can afford a $25,000?
Rich fags. I thought it was everybody, but apparently he's like zeroing in on like a type of luxury consumer. And I'm like, oh, this is not the Frank Ocean I knew. This is not the girl I knew.
No, Frank Ocean shouldn't be a luxury brand. It is a chic name.
His brand is Homer, which I'm also like, eye roll. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I like it. Like Simpsons in fashion, like that's like, come on. I know, and it might not be a Simpsons reference necessarily. It might be like, oh, okay, he loves the Iliad. It's like, you gotta, I don't know. Home Simpsons in fashion, it's like, we've reached a fever pitch. I love that, you know that I'm a Simpsons gay. If you're a beer gay, then I'm a Simpsons gay. But I think like we're like every fashion brand has a Simpsons motif in it now, which
do they really?
I love, but I feel like Frank Ocean is ahead of the curve. And this is the one moment where I'm like, wait a minute. I feel like you're a follower. Do you know what I'm saying? I love him to death. I wish him the best.
I wish him the best in all of his endeavors. I'm just saying, like, there's something about a $25,000 cock ring that rubs me the wrong way. Maybe even literally, because if you're thinking about what that's made of to make it $25,000, I'm thinking that feels painful or uncomfortable. Two sensations that during gay sex, we don't necessarily need more of. Another thing is like, then what happens if it gets like luby? What happens if it gets like, I don't know, a lot happens. There's a lot of like action happening during sex, like a $25,000 sex, like, accessory? I just don't know.
A cock ring is supposed to, you're supposed to be able to like control the compression at the base and or whatever. And like it's this is jewelry. Like it's not like,
yeah,
this is assuming a lot about someone's like ball size. I don't know. We can't get into it, but you know what?
And it's not even like we can get it to try it because neither of us are going to pay $25,000 for it.
No. But if he's going to sell a $25,000 cock ring, I'm going to sell like $50,000 Viagra pills. Like it's basically the same function, you know? It's like,
you don't want that to be your brand though.
This helps me get hard and it costs too much money. That's what's going on. I'm sorry.
You don't know your clientele either.
We went down that pathway. I don't. Frank and I are the same person. Now,
no, I'll tell you who our clientele is. Her name is Katie. She's 28 years old. She lives outside of Chicago. She has a communications degree. And we are her gay best friends. That's what our clientele is. Okay?
Yeah. And we've embraced it, you know? Okay, speaking of alcohol earlier, our guest just celebrated a huge birthday.
20 Absolute One. Iconic.
It's giving Adele.
It's giving Adele's best album, sorry.
Okay, well, let's not go there. But I think she turned 21 in a crazy place. Not a crazy place.
In a hopeless place.
Oh, my God. We love that song. Okay, but she just turned 21. She just talked about birthdays as a concept on her new podcast coming out on Crooked Media with
Dare We Say
with her friends Yasmeen Hamidi and Alicia Pascual-Pena, who plays Aida in Saved by the Bell, which our guest stars in, is truly such a fucking star in.
That's the truth.
I can't wait to talk about Saved by the Bell with her. We met her at the Critics' Choice Awards.
Where she was nominated and fucking, like, absolutely ridiculous that she didn't win.
Your friend Molly Shannon was nominated. Our guest was nominated.
Yes, that's
true. In the same category. It was a stacked category.
I actually happen to be wearing my The Other Two Season 2 sweatshirt today, actually.
Oh, my God. And our guest was in another Chris Kelly project.
Other people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this has been a long time coming. We love her so much.
I mean, this was a sort of thing where it was like, it's been a long time coming getting our guest on the pod. And the fact is that we finally locked her down and she's in fucking Scotland where she'll be for months filming a drama. And that is how I want, that's the energy I want this episode. I want it to feel Scottish drama vibes. And it starts now. Everyone, please welcome into your ears, Josie Tota!
Hi.
Already it's not Scottish vibes. It's like chill, it's American girl.
Such Scottish energy. I feel like I was having a stroke. Like I wanted to speak so much, but I couldn't speak. I'm so happy to like produce words out of my mouth. I love listening to you guys.
We're so happy too.
I'm so happy.
We're so happy you're producing words.
I'm so happy that Frank Ocean is like so delirious. I want to be at that level of delirium where I can sell $25,000 cock rings.
I guess, you know, the thing
you
is
will,
like,
and you will.
The thing is just like, I don't doubt that he will sell those cock rings, but that to me feels like, you know, he could make cock rings for the people and then that could really be his thing. Luxury cock rings. I'm like, not only do I think they're impractical, but I don't think it's like the best. I don't know. But here we are talking about it. And isn't that what this whole town feeds on? Talk.
Talk.
So true.
So fucking true.
Happy birthday. Happy belated.
Thank you.
How did you celebrate?
I forced like my two best friends from LA to fly 6,000 miles over here.
Oh,
and
the best.
So with my cast and the two of them, we just, you know, went to the party capital of the world, mm-hmm. Edinburgh, Scotland, of course, mm-hmm. and had an amazing, just like British time.
Incredible. But can I confront you?
Incredible.
But please.
I know you've drank underage. I know it.
Oh, of course.
And CSC, criminal.
It's criminal.
Of course. You know, it's so funny because I went to college and I just graduated like
congrats.
A week before. Thank you. A week before I like came to Scotland. And so like I never was 21 in college. And oh. so I, and by the way, if you, I'm not even just saying this for like, you know, to sound like I'm like a good person who didn't have like a childhood alcohol disorder, like most child actors do. Like, oh, I just shit. Like didn't, I never really enjoyed drinking. I just loved being in like the environment. Like I always loved being in the club. So
yeah,
I like forced my sister to like give me her old ID. And, but so then now it's like, it's seeped into other things. It's not just getting into clubs. Like now that I'm 21, like I can use my own ID, but I like use AAA through her ID. I like rent cars now through her. Like we share insurance. I'm like legally on paper, I'm half of my sister's life. So like, that's not even something that's going to change now.
Yeah.
This is a great movie plot. Like the time between you turn 21 and 25, those 4 years are so important. That's what that's when you're going to feel so connected to your sister.
Right.
Before you can rent a car at 25. Like, because otherwise you're this, like, you're in some ways the same person. But you were saying on your podcast that you guys don't look alike. And so the fake doesn't work.
We don't look nothing alike. And that's not because of a surgeon's misdoing. We've had the exact same work done. No. We don't really look I look more like my dad and she looks more like my mother-ish.
Mm.
Yeah.
I look like I'm a squeezed and much taller, like I'm a pulled out version of her. My sister's hands are like, they're like miniature. They're like tiny paws. They like can fit into a quarter of my palm.
Small hands are, I'm sorry, they freak me out. I'm just saying right here. Small hands are some of the scariest things.
I love playing with her fingers. It's like a little toy. It's like a free toy.
How old is she?
She's about to turn 30 in October.
Oh, so her hands have stopped growing. That's just how big they are.
Yeah, oh no, they're done. They're
way
past.
Your hands stop growing at 28. That's what they say.
That's what they say.
Oh my gosh, that is what they say. It's written in the Bible.
It's written. It's actually Bible. It's biblical.
It's Bible. Were you drinking at the Critics' Choice?
No, you were being good.
No, I was. I was so scared. I was so. I have never not wanted to like to like win. Not that I ever thought there was a possibility of me being able to like win that, but like I have never felt such like I was just producing so much negativity leading up to when they were saying my category, mm-hmm. and I looked to my dad and I was like, I will shit myself and throw up if this goes the other way. So I was praying.
Of course.
I was obviously praying that like it was obviously someone else, which I knew it was going to be. And my mom was like, are you going to write a speech? And I was like, no, that's so stupid. Why would I write a speech? But that's like the worst feeling. Why do people like going to award shows? They're like kind of awful.
Well, we were, that's the thing is that we were looking over at you and you obviously weren't drinking. And we were like, can you imagine having to sit through all of this with no help from alcohol? Because it really, she was long.
It's brutal. It was like a mass. It was like a six-hour mass.
It was really long. It was, and we had a great time, but it was long. But the thing is, though, like you guys obviously were nominated, so can you? But probably, I don't know. You felt like you were not going to win, and Bowen kept saying, "I'm not going to win. I'm not going to win." But I was feeling like Bowen, you might win.
I thought Bowen, you were going to win.
No. Okay,
to be
that's
fair.
Very nice. But I think what Josie is talking about is this thing that I think we've talked about, which is that like. You obviously know that like it's not in the realm of possibility. And then something happens when you're sitting there in the room.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, but what if?
Yeah.
Right. I need to look this up. I need to read a book about this. But the phrase, the addiction to possibility, is like applies to so many areas of everyone's life.
The addiction to possibility.
Wait, I feel like I have that. That's so interesting.
We all have
I think
that.
We all have that.
Oh my God.
Title of app, title of episode.
Addiction, we all addiction have to addiction to possibility. Wow, this is crazy. What's
that is
what,
so...
You could explain that.
It comes in at crazy times. Well, I feel like it's self-explanatory. It's like we are like before you go on a vacation. I'm sure Josie, you felt this before you went to Scotland, even though you were like, oh God, it's like a months long shoot in a different country. Like it'll be hard work, but it might be exciting. It might be all these things. I'm going to celebrate my birthday there. I mean, we all have this crazy concept of like an image of what an outcome might be or what something will be as an experience. And then we love that. That's basically it.
We fantasize that. The problem is, and I think this is what forces people to like stay in bad habits, is that we can only think of possibilities with the information that we have, which is past experiences. And so, you know, we can't sort of dictate what's in front of us objectively because we can only pull from things that we've experienced, we've heard people experience. And I think that gives people like roadblocks. Gives me roadblocks. Yes.
Yeah, especially in a situation like that one. It's like when you finally get to sit at an award show like that, it's like your only experience with that most of the time is like having watched them on TV or like understanding what it's like when someone goes up there and wins. And then you're there and it's like you don't just magically appear during your category and you look stunning when they cut to you as one of the nominees and it's this tense moment and someone wins and then everyone's like, oh, clapping and thank God. And then you move on with your life. It's like, no, you sit there the entire time. They do not feed yes. your asses. The alcohol is flowing. People are usually making jerks of themselves either on stage or off. It's a horny little town that gets weirder as the night goes on. And then afterwards you leave and you're like, wow, that was demystified for me. And I don't know if it was positive or negative, but I know I experienced it.
Right. And I think a niche sort of experience that many people cannot relate to is, which was the most horrifying experience or one of the most during that night was like the cameraman after I lost. Who like, cause you know how everyone has like a camera on them when they're saying the nominees. And then like, just the way he just like threw it down immediately. Like after he's like, the way it like pushed in and I felt like I was having my moment. And then like, just the, it was like disappointment, but like it was like expected disappointment. Like the look on this man's eye was just like, of course. And he just like threw the camera. Didn't even like try to like keep it up for like a millisecond longer. Like that to me was horrifying.
Wow.
Chilling.
You had our votes. You had our crit. You were our critic's choice. You really were.
Thanks. And by the way, I was so honored. And like, they were so nice. And
yeah, it was fun.
Seeing you guys.
Oh, it was a lovely time. And see, well, speaking of which, so we instantly like locked in on you. We were like, oh my God, Josie's next to us. We hit it off. What was your memory of your table mates? I think Joshua Jackson and Jodie Turner Smith. Do you remember what that vibe was?
I remember that like I didn't recognize Christian Slater and he like tried sitting in my dad's seat and I fully like I was so anxious that I was like extremely rude and was like, that's my dad's seat. Like that's my dad's seat.
Christian Slater.
And he looked at me like a little confused and he was like, oh, and I was like, yeah, sorry. And then I just thought he was like someone's guest. And then my dad was like, why the fuck did you just speak to Christian Slater like that? And I was like,
wow,
I haven't seen him in a moment.
Well, you're not watching Dr. Death. You're not watching.
I'm not watching Dr. Death.
Dr. Death, I guess.
But I loved Jodie. I loved their relationship. They seem so
iconic.
Healthy.
Yeah, they're iconic.
So healthy and horny.
It was healthy, horny energy.
They were on top of each other.
I love how she just gave no fuck. Like people were like giving like emotional speeches and she was just like, what the fuck? Huh? She was like, that doesn't make sense. And I'm like, you're speaking in a normal voice.
That doesn't make sense.
And your table is close to the stage.
We were like with an audible earshot. But what I will say,
that doesn't make sense.
There's so many tidbits from this night, honestly. But one tidbit, my dad was sitting next to Venus Williams during the whole Jane Campion speech.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And so he was so obsessed with the fact that he got to see like the look on her face and like the confusion and like that whole moment, which was so awkward.
Yeah,
and
it was not.
You just wanted to sort of kick her.
Right, yeah. Right. Oh, Jane.
Well, I actually missed that part because we got so fucking drunk that at one point we got up and like went to go hobnob and I left my phone somewhere. So at that point I was fully standing up, looking around that ballroom, like, where's my phone? Like, there, my Darcy Carden sent a video of me just like up out of my seat while they're accepting the award, just like looking for my phone, like in the ballroom.
Oh my god.
Like, you don't realize, like, it's probably good that you couldn't drink because you don't realize just how drunk you'll get if you allow yourself to go there, especially when you're nervous. Like, and I was nervous for Beau. I was like, what are we doing here? There's so much going on. You got tanked.
There was a lot going on.
It was so strange. And like, yeah, there was, I mean, I was like running into like Kirsten Dunst and Jesse Plemons outside of the bathroom, who also, like, I don't know if I should say this because if people know where I live, then they could like hunt them, but they're like my neighbors randomly. They're like my next door. And so they were like talking about parties that I had in high school that they like had heard through the fence.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yes. It was so, so I hit on Andrew Garfield at the after party.
Well, he is like, a hunk. Of course.
And I failed miserably.
Wow.
So many moments. Which, by the way, I regretfully hit on. Like, I would never hit on that man again because I just feel like he's not my vibe.
He's not your vibe?
Really?
No, I feel like the more that I like read into him, he seems like a nice person, but like, I feel like he deserves someone else.
Deserves someone else?
I say that like I had a choice.
No, I think that it was in your hands. I think had you just gone over there and been like, listen, this is happening tonight, I think that maybe Andrew Garfield would have been charmed/horned up.
I think he was a little too charmed throughout the night. But like, basically what happened was we were at the after party and I went up to him because he was hanging out with like my little friends that I had made that night. It was their first time also being nominated. And I was like, I like your jacket because he had like a sparkly jacket, right?
Yeah.
Just like real chill, real easy. And he was like, really? Because I feel like it's giving Dancing with the Stars. Which, by the way, he used the phrase, it's giving. It's which giving. I was like, okay, because this is giving something else.
It's giving somewhere in the middle.
It's giving Shawn Mendes. It's giving Cher. And so I was like, no, like, you're like, that's like way below your tax bracket. And I was like, but you could like, you would look good in anything. So like, you don't have to worry.
Good, nice.
And he was
nice,
like,
nice.
Right. And so I was like, okay, I'm getting points here. Right. And then he asked me, he was like, so like, what do you do? And this is when like you would expect me to be like, I'm an actor, or like, I was nominated tonight.
Yeah, oh no, yeah. Did you do a bit?
I didn't do a bit. I was honest. But I looked at him dead in the eye and was just like, I'm a student.
But you were because, lying.
I wasn't lying because I was so nervous that he had asked me that all I could say was that I was a student. Because I am in college. He looked at me face ajar, truly confused, and was like, how is that going for you? And again, you would think that would be like, well, I'm also an actor and I'm also nominated tonight, but I doubled down and was just like, yeah. I didn't want to say those words, but I was like, if I just insinuate that I'm an actor, I just said like, well, I'm here. And he looked at me and was like, I don't think that means what you think that means. And I was like, what does that mean? I was so confused.
I don't know what that means.
Oh no. I hate when things go off the rails.
It went totally off the rails. And then he walked away from me. I was just like, why did I tell him that? But I did see him at the GLAAD Awards and I did tell him that. And he very kindly and told me with great confidence that he had no idea who I was and didn't remember that. But he was laughing at the fact that I told him I was a student. Well, so it's been since made up.
It's been made right. And now the next time you see him, you can just go over to him and like flirt with him for real. And like, God, remember all these times we started together. Anyway, let's get a drink because I'm old enough to do that now. So
exactly. But that's my Garfield story. We all have one.
We all have one. The groundwork has been laid though for, I think Matt's right, for future interactions where like, you know, it's cute and fun. Wait, who are your other friends, your quote, little friends that you made that night who were also nominated? was it the Yellow Jackets people?
Well, actually, one of the girls from Yellow Jackets Sammy, she goes by Samantha now because she's an adult. Samantha Hanratty, I've known for like over 10 years.
Oh, she's so good.
She's amazing. I met her like when I first moved to LA and we took our first very acting class together and we were very excited to be there together. And then there was another, it was like a Wolf brother. I think his name is Nat.
Nat Wolf. There you go.
He was really nice. Yeah.
Is Saved by the Bell your first... Maybe not your first, but is that like one of your first jobs where you got to hang with people in your age cohort and like your age group where, because I feel like you've been in a lot of stuff where it's like you've had to play opposite like full grown adults.
Yeah.
And I imagine as someone growing up in the industry, you're like, I kind of want to hang out with like people my age. Is that fair?
100%. I mean, when I was on Glee, I like assumed I would be with high school age people because I was 14 years old, but I was with like 38-year-olds who were
some
playing.
Of the oldest people in America who played
some of the like, oldest people in America.
It was the oldest people I'd ever seen. They were like 30.
it's not even like people that are like, they're old to play high schoolers. It's like hard adults with hard adult problems, like having hard adult conflict. Yeah. It's like, and then they're like, we get to get to class.
I was just so confused. Like, why did, when it came to casting my character, did they decide they wanted to cast a child?
Right.
Like, I was truly like 13 years old when I was cast and like put opposite these 30-year-olds.
Like Chris Colfer, a 48-year-old novelist.
Right. And Lea Michele, who is a wonderful journey.
The Lea of it all. Bowen and I are going to see her in Funny Girl.
I mean, she's that'll be very interesting.
She's going to tear it up.
It will. Yeah.
Of course. That'll be fun. But anyway, so when we got to Saved by the Bell, I was so lucky, especially because I had shot a movie just before that and I became really close friends with this girl, Alicia. Mm-hmm. It was a film called Moxie. And while we were filming that movie, I realized that she had been auditioning for Saved by the Bell. And I met with Tracy Wigfield, who had the idea to bring it back like the summer before. But I wasn't planning on doing it because I like had just for the very first time, which now looking back, it sounds so stupid that I was like, I'm saying no to this Saved by the Bell reboot. But the very first time in my entire life I ever could just be myself and be in school. And I realized that I had spent the past almost decade just dressing up as like someone else and being on set all day.
Yeah.
And then never having these like imperative moments that like make your young adult life like what it's supposed to be or your teen life. And then like I just kept getting closer with her. And then I remember like the day that she booked it, I was crying for her. And that was like one of the final straws that like helped me realize like I should probably, this is a sign that I should probably like do this. And obviously with the role and Tracy being so amazing. And so I said yes. And we ended on a Friday of that movie and we had our first table read that Monday.
Oh,
so
wow.
I got to be with her for 2.5 years straight. And then she ended up moving in with me. Oh, and that was just amazing.
I didn't realize that Alicia had been like on this journey with you through multiple stages. And then, does she go to Chapman too? Or did she go?
She didn't go to Chapman. We joke that she like kind of like did because our best friend Yasmin, who's doing the podcast with Alicia and I, is my best friend from college. She went to Chapman.
Honestly, Saved by the Bell was such like a joy to watch because it really was not what anyone thought it was going to be. I think people probably thought, maybe even what you thought when you heard, oh, you're being offered a Saved by the Bell reboot. It's like, oh, is it going to be not in the pejorative even, I don't even say this, but like corny, like the original one was in that, is it going to be After School Specialist or what's going on? And then you hear Tracy Wigfield and probably get to know her and then maybe even see a script and you're like, oh my God, this is real jokes. It's hard jokes. It's
self-aware,
very self-aware. Like the characters are interesting and funny. Like that had to be like a pretty cool thing to like understand that it was going to play to the top of intelligence instead of like being for kids.
Yeah, so cool. 100%. And I think that's such a testament to how smart Tracy is. And I think we never really doubted that because, I mean, she went from being like a writer's assistant on 30 Rock to winning the Emmy for writing the finale. Emmy.
I remember that year.
Yeah. Yes. She's like just so intelligent and wonderful. And looking back, I'm like, why wouldn't I have done that? I mean, it to this day is the best role I've ever played. It's the best writing. And I'm, you know, you guys, I'm sure, are familiar with some of the writers on that show, like Chris Schleicher and
Dwayne.
Matt Warburton, Dwayne Perkins.
And some of those writers, most of them, like Ben and Aaron, Geary, I said that like they're married. I don't know Ben's last name. they're like, they're two straight men who I'm like wanting to, I want them to be gay so
Mary.
Bad. But I've known them for like 7 years. So these people, or now 7 years, but like at the time it was like 5 years. So they knew exactly how I spoke or like what would sound the best coming out of my mouth. So I just had the best material to work with.
Mm-hmm. You're so fucking good in it, Josie. Yeah, really like, just the deliveries are so, so sharp. I mean, the character of Lexi, too, is just like so well developed. I think it's a testament to you being a producer on the show and giving it some real, some reality to like what being like a trans student at a high school might be like in this day and age.
Yeah.
In a way that is not like, it is not disempowered. Like, Lexi's a very fun, comfortable, confident person, but then she still has these moments like in this recent season where she is reticent to be this like poster child for like trans identity when this trans student at another school gets kicked off the soccer team. Like I thought that was so genius. Like it's not this expected narrative of like, oh well, then Lexi would react to like this very predictable way in the container of like an after school special from the 80s and like the old Saved by the Bell iteration. I just think it's such, I mean, Tracy is a genius and it's so fun that you get to play like the Jenna Maroney type of person in like a 30 Rock DNA show, you know, like now like every show since 30 Rock that's done through Tina and Robert and Tracy and, you know, all these people, like that lineage is so essential. Like, I don't remember. I like, this is my favorite kind of comedy. I don't know.
Yeah,
I love it.
Same. I was truly just so lucky. And I mean, I would just die laughing. And I don't think I realized like how exactly lucky I was. I knew that I was really lucky in those moments. But like looking back now, being on other projects, I'm like,
yep.
I was truly just given like a giant, like juicy, delicious cake to just bite off of every single day. And there was never a moment where I didn't have genuine fun. And I think that's why, I think that reflected in that character too. And I don't think I'll ever play a character like that in that way again, which is sort of sad. But also I feel like that was very healing for me because I think as a child, that character is like the one that I like aspired to be, or that type of like aspirational girl character that I think a lot of like queer people can relate to. I feel like we look up to like, you know, the Britney Spears of them all, or
like Regina George, but like Regina George.
Exactly. And like the Clueless. And
Yeah.
So it was very like self-fulfilling prophecy, and that is how I genuinely speak in my head. I just like can't say that out loud without getting like physically abused by someone on the street.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly Bursts.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst. Hey, everybody. During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs classic clogs and sandals have both covered.
And when we're talking about style, we mean personal style. There's just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood and to match your personality and to fit the occasion.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style.
And now let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than the Crocs clogs and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
Hey, Las Culturistas listeners, we're here to tell you that there's no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy.
Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion.
It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com, then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas.
There's a lot of pressure around gifting. I usually have a hard time thinking of gift ideas for the birthdays of loved ones in my life. And sometimes I do get super stressed trying to find that perfect thing.
Me too. But now with Gift Mode on Etsy, I can search hundreds of gifting personas and find so many incredible items. And I actually just found a custom chalk bag for the adventurer in my life who's into rock climbing.
Not me. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So, whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner in your life or a birthday present for the pickleballer in your life, Gift Mode has you covered.
I'm not the pickleballer. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
And what more could you ask for? Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Titanic is NYC's funniest night out. Plus, it's the winner of multiple awards, including the Las Culturistas Kimberly Akimbo Award for Best Indoor Live Performance.
Titanic is a parody musical that answers the question of what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night aboard the Titanic.
My life was improved by seeing Titanic, so much so that I reached out to my best friend, Bowen Yang, to improve his life. And Bowen, did it succeed?
It succeeded so much that I went 4 more times.
So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit this season. Plus, if you get tickets 6 weeks in advance, you get 30% off. And that's on Titanic math, girlfriend.
But seriously, who can wait that long? Go see it tomorrow. What are you waiting for? Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
So you mentioned aspiring from childhood, which sort of brings us to our centerpiece question of this podcast, which was, Josie Toto, what is the culture that made you say culture is for you? This is the formative pop culture in your life that you can look back and be like, oh yeah, that sort of made me.
I mean, there's so many things. I think definitely every single pack and edition of the Sims game.
Oh, here we go.
Yes!
Like, true. Are you a Sims fan?
I would lose. This is what I would spend my summers doing, like in full on high school when I like could have a social life. I would play The Sims 2 for 9 hours straight.
Literally same. I like had glued my eyes to a PC that I bought just to play Sims.
Oh, wow.
I had the Katy Perry pack, like the Candyland pack or whatever. And then I had like the college dorm one. I had every single pack and like just getting to create my own world and kill people. Like back when that was like a fun thing to do. And like wasn't bad, like didn't kill them in a bad way. It was like you'd set the house on fire or something.
Right, of course.
It was just like, it was really liberating and just like getting to get people pregnant and like,
I know, making them have sex was a whole thing.
It was like so fun.
The fact that you had the Katy Perry pack is so funny because it's when I was playing Sims, it was like you get the Avril Lavigne pack. Remember that,
right,
Bo?
Right, right, right.
There was like an Avril Lavigne one you could add on. And it was
wait,
just
that
like,
sounds so fun. I feel like she made a comeback.
Yeah.
So they need to do another edition.
She did. They need to do that again.
I was more of a Roller Coaster Tycoon little gay, but like it was The Sims was major. And I remember the cheat code you could put in. What was it? Rosebud.
To get like a ton of money. Rosebud. Yes. Yeah.
Rosebud.
You could type Rosebud into the top right corner or whatever, and you'd get so much money and you'd be able to make like McMansions, which if you look back, pretty much every mansion you made with all that unlimited money was the same as the one you'd made before.
It was all
the same. You couldn't ignore your own taste, but it never stopped being fun.
No.
It was so fun. And I think just being a young child who just dreamt so much about what I wish my life was like and whatever, like I would live that life through The Sim. And for that, I thank them. I thank all of them. I wonder if in 20 years, you know how people say there are certain signs of a psychopath? If you know, being addicted to playing The Sims is will become a major sign in the DSM-5.
Well, we didn't know she was an arsonist, but looking back, she did burn a lot of her Sims alive, saying it felt empowering.
I feel like that might just happen.
Yeah. Well, what I would do is, and this is truly crazy, but I would trap them in a bath. I would trap them in a room. I would take the doors off the room, and they would hold their genitals, and they had to pee so bad, and then they would
essentially, they just piss themselves.
They would fall to the ground, piss themselves, and then remember when they would have shame?
Turn into an urn.
Yes. Oh my God. Shame. Yeah. Shame was such a thing. Or when they would faint from being too tired or not being fed.
Yeah.
That was insane. This is this is what war criminals use to have fun.
But I don't think the way we're talking about it, it's very soapy, right? You're you would get Josie, where you're I would get these people pregnant. I would always have people cheat on each other. It helped me develop creativity in terms of a storytelling instinct. To be now this person is going to do this.
100%. I think that's definitely a major factor.
I think that a sign of a psychopath is maybe that I just remembered the word rosebud was the cheat code. Did either of you remember that it was rosebud? Because that lives in that's crazy. But honestly, it's the secretaries in your brain, when they go through the filing cabinets and they find something and you're like, oh my God, not that still there.
How did you find that?
I don't know what the fact, I must have been much more obsessed than I thought, but I'm telling you, I was one of those boring kids that didn't use the expansion packs. I couldn't figure them out. So I was just on The Sims 2, constantly rosebudding, making a mansion that had the same leopard print Lisa Rinna floor. Just ridiculous, going nowhere with my design aesthetic. Definitely tacky, buying the biggest vase I could and then just killing them inside.
1,000,000%.
Well,
there's still a Sims culture. There's still a Sims culture that's going strong.
Oh, for sure. I think it's the younger Jenny.
Yeah.
The preteens are really into it. I think it gets younger and younger as time goes on.
What is it now? How has it evolved?
Sims 4. Sims 4. And
now you can play on your phone, which is crazy because I never got to do that.
Yeah. That feels unwieldy to play on your phone.
Yeah, it feels wrong. There's something about uploading it and putting it in, turning the computer on.
Yeah.
And getting in, really waiting for it to load.
PC life. Oh my gosh. Wow. PCs. They really did reign supreme. They were the dinosaurs of the time. They really were. Before Mac came in, there were something that ruled the earth and they were PCs.
I feel so bad for them because they're just so, they're ugly. Yeah. They're just naturally ugly. Bricks. And I could say that because I'm in an Apple series now. So I'm...
There you go.
I've lost all sense of partnership.
Now that you're on an Apple series, you can really be pro MacBook before.
I can really share my true feelings. Although weirdly, they haven't given me anything.
Oh, that's a shame.
See?
I know. It's so weird. I'm why do we work for you?
Actually, when the new iPhone comes out in a month, you should tell your people through the Apple reps, hey, give me a free iPhone.
I'm going to throw my phone into the fucking Scottish River the day that comes out. I'm going to say that it fell out of my hand due to the violent wind of Edinburgh. And I'm going to demand a new phone.
Can you say what you're working on? Has it been announced and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
It's an Apple series. I think it's called The Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers.
And it is about the 1800s, you guys. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
It's about five girls who come to England from New York to find husbands, but then obviously shit goes down.
Yeah,
and 100%. They all have their own whatever intentions and objectives, and I play a character that is like extremely against the type of person that you would see portrayed in those times, if that makes any sense at all. But it's not a trans character. It's not a trans character, but I just mean like my journey is very antithetical to like the types of stories that we've seen.
I'm excited.
Which is called? Fun for me.
Cool. What's it called?
The Buccaneers. It's called The Buccaneers, which
the Buccaneers, right.
Means like strong. It means cowboy, but also like strong
gay pirate. Basically, I went to high school and our mascot was the Buccaneers. And I was like,
oh, it means gay pirate. I thought it was gay cowboy.
It doesn't really mean gay pirate, but a Buccaneer is a pirate. And that's essentially probably why they called it that, is because you guys did like go across the ocean to get to this new place.
Right. We did do that.
And I have always felt that a Buccaneer was a way for a pirate to be like, is he, you know what I mean? When they call themselves Buccaneers.
Right.
It's a gay word for pirate, I feel.
I love that. And I think that tracks. I should tell them that, and they should change. They're going to change the series.
Yeah. Well, Matt and I can play gay pirates if they need someone.
Yeah, right. We really can.
That would help us, honestly. This is the thing on this show, you know, I'm so used to walking on a set and just being mentally fucking psycho. And this is a normal show with like normal people who like aren't pitching fart jokes and like a monk calling you, like breaking his vow of silence to call you a cunt. Like those are the types of things that like people are saying on this type of show. So I'm fully like, I have to like reel it in, and then I go home at night and I write, or I call Tracy Wigfield. We have like weekly calls, and I get to like show my energy that way. But
yeah, it's giving buttoned up. It's giving drama.
It's giving like an actual actor. Okay. Which who knew?
We knew.
That's fun. We knew all along.
Well, thank you.
I feel like I guess Matt and I have not done any drama. So I feel like the vibe must be completely different from a comedy set where, as you say, you get to go on and be mentally fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And it works, and it's helpful, and people love it.
It's so helpful. And like everyone, it's weird too, because like on a comedy set, you obviously don't just have like writers or whatever. You have like everyone that's involved in the crew. But because these people have done like The Office and 30 Rock and Mindy Project, like everyone understands like a joke structure, and like the boom op will be like, we'll laugh in the right way, or like we'll understand something, or like we'll pitch you something randomly, or like when you when you get a laugh out of like your camera operator, like it means so much more to you.
It does.
Then like a writer telling you that joke landed well or something, and that energy doesn't exist there. It's still so fun, and like I still love being on set, but it's definitely like an adjustment.
Yeah, I always wonder about that, because even like sometimes you do a project and like it'll like the comedy will be there, but it's not necessarily laugh out loud on set just because of the type of comedy it is. Like probably for Saved by the Bell, there was a lot of laughter because it's a lot of hard jokes. Whereas like in other things, like for example, when we shot the movie Fire Island, like it was definitely a comedy, but like the crew was not cracking up because it wasn't that type of comedy. Then meanwhile, with the drama, it's like, especially someone coming from comedy who's, for better or worse, a little bit used to that type of affirmation after you do a take, you do it and then it's a drama and you leave the scene and you're like, well, fuck, was it anything? Was it good at all? Like,
hard to quantify it.
Yeah. And then, like, honestly, like, what I've learned with older people I've worked with and people more experienced have just been like, you have to know they would not, period, point blank, they would not have moved on if they didn't get it. You did it. Just keep going. You won't kill yourself at the end of the day or at the end of a job if you just let yourself off the hook. If they got it, they moved on, you're fine.
1,000%. And I love that you mentioned Fire Island, because you guys have stroked my ego so much. And I haven't gotten to tell you how much I loved in watching that film and how smart it was and how talented you both are. And also, obviously, Bowen, I've told you how much of a fan I am of you with SNL. And like I've also been watching I Love That For You recently. I just got into it.
Thank you so much.
I'm not kidding. Like I just got into it, and you are so amazing in that. I feel like there's a world where I could play like a 40-year-old anchor on that show somehow. Even as my age now, that's like a goal of mine.
Yes, yes.
You have to come on and sell products on the show. I mean, now I'm like,
I can sell Frank Ocean cock rings.
You should.
Yes.
You'd absolutely crush.
No, but you are so funny. And I love Molly Shannon. And I worked with her when I was younger and just recently saw her at like a engagement party, and not mine, this young woman's. And she was just so wonderful. And I love her so much.
She is like, you know, what's funny about Molly is like, everyone always wants to know what she's like. And as you know, this is true. And I got to introduce Bowen to her at that award show. She's exactly the same as you think
exactly
she's going to be. Like,
her
energy is just so like funny and positive and very like energetic. And I just love watching her get ready to do her thing. Like, it really interesting working on the film that you worked on with her, because she was playing a totally different thing. And I think other people like really broke her open for everyone as being like more of a dramatic actress, which now I think people understand. And I love that for you. She's got a lot of dramatic moments, and we've seen like White Lotus and stuff where she's funny, but it's more, there's like a heft to it. But like watching her prepare herself, she really is like, it's not like this goofy energy that you think, oh, SNL, like comedian, like we've seen her crash through a table. She's like really a capital A actress. And it's very like inspiring to see like someone who obviously doesn't take themselves seriously and is like gone for it with sketch comedy, but also can drop in and do that other thing.
Yep.
1,000%. She is so wonderfully talented and definitely goes against the tropes of like what you might expect of her in that regard.
Yeah.
And more importantly, she's just so wonderfully humble and
she's really great.
Kind. And I remember in that movie, Other People, I had like two scenes and she went on like Jimmy Fallon and she had like shouted me out. She had shouted the whole cast out, but like said my name also. And it was like Bradley Whitford. Like, who else was it? Like, Maude Apatow, Jesse Plemons. And then she just, like, said my name. And I was like, what the fuck? How do you know my name?
Because she goes out of her way to find the names of people that she loves. Like, she texted me and she was like, what was the name of that comedian that I did the scene with? I thought she was amazing. And she was talking about Martha Kelly, who's now got an Emmy nomination from Euphoria. And she comes on the show on I Love That For You as Molly's astrologer. And it's just so funny. And Molly followed up with me and was like, I need you to give me her email or phone number because I need to reach out to her and tell her how much I loved her performance. Like, that's just who she is.
She's just a godsend and amazing. And I love her.
And what an amazing moment that you guys were category mates. Like, you guys were in the same category.
Which was crazy. That was like 6 years later. I go from being in two scenes of a film starring my idol. And then, you know, suddenly I'm in the same category as her. That was just so... Right. I don't think I'll ever process that until I'm like out of work when I'm 50 and I'm dreaming of being a child again.
You were unbelievable in that movie, though. I mean, like, it's truly like, it's like if you remember like two or three things from it, like years later after watching it, like you are lodged in the brain. Like, you're so good. Stars.
I think about that film. It's so funny. I have never really told this publicly before, but when I filmed that scene, I had like, we were in the middle of the summer and it was Santa Clarita. It was like 106 degrees outside and there was you can't put on air conditioning when you're obviously filming, as you guys know, because of the noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I fully had a heat stroke and like nearly shit my pants.
Oh no.
And Naomi Scott, wife and just amazing person of Adam Scott, was producing the film along with Adam and was just so kind to me and was like, I basically nearly fainted during the twerking scene. And so we broke for lunch an hour early and they let me take a shower in the house, this like random like Airbnb-esque house, middle class home that we were filming at. And I like really got into the middle class. I was middle class. I really got into this middle class home, this woman's life in this middle class home. And I like put on her robe, like the owner of this house's robe and her slippers. And like, I just got to chill in her rocking chair for like a tight 30 and ate some Chinese food and then was able to recover and finish the twerking scene.
And slay the gig.
The fact that you remember these details.
It's the fact that I sounded like Kim Kardashian when she did that middle class photo shoot. Did you guys ever see that? It was middle class.
On the show.
Oh, you guys will be obsessed with this. No, she did an editorial photo shoot that wasn't released with Kanye West, where they were in a middle, like an upper middle class home, but it was like middle class core. And there was like tile countertops and like wooden cabinets and like a just a like a living spaces couch.
I love it.
It's kind of iconic. Look it up if you haven't seen it.
An editorial of like them at West Elm and being like, this is too expensive.
Right.
Them like having a hushed conversation about a $600 couch, being like, thank you anyway. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Wait, you guys want to know something? Okay, this is quick aside. I feel so grounded because I have maybe a taste that's beyond my means sometimes. Ooh. But I did go to the mall here in Charlotte, North Carolina to buy an outfit for an Under the Sea prom, which Meg Stalter threw last night. And I was like, I need to buy something with like fish on it. And I went to Dillard's. I didn't know still existed. It's amazing.
Dillard's?
But I went to Dillard's and then I went to Dillard's and I looked at some price tags for like a shirt, and it was this disgusting shirt with a fish print on it. Looked at it, it was $80, and I went, I'm not spending $80 on this. And then I was like, whoa.
Jesus Christ.
I feel like my mom, and Dillard's reminds me of my mom. But anyway, I was like, wow, I have not flown too far from the nest. I have not really strayed from the path too much, because I was like, you know what?
That wasn't because the $80 was too much. It's because it was too much for that bad shirt.
Exactly. You would pay for a nice shirt.
You pay for a nice shirt. But then I did find a set that cost $30 total. And I was like, wow, I got a great bargain. And I really like the way it looks. And I'm going to take it home with me. Like I felt, and this is disgusting to most of our listeners, to the readers, but I'm like, okay, it felt nice and I want to return to that. That's all I'm saying.
You can go shopping.
This is the most unrelatable thing.
Yeah, this is an insane. We're going to have to do another podcast with you to save your reputation after this. when it gets shot to the ground.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst. Hey, everybody. During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs classic clogs and sandals have both covered.
And when we're talking about style, we mean personal style. There's just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood and to match your personality and to fit the occasion.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can, because it's your personal style.
And now let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than the Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
And what more could you ask for? Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Titanic is NYC's funniest night out. Plus, it's the winner of multiple awards, including the Las Culturistas Kimberly Akimbo Award for Best Indoor Live Performance.
Titanic is a parody musical that answers the question of what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night aboard the Titanic.
My life was improved by seeing Titanic, so much so that I reached out to my best friend Bowen Yang to improve his life. And Bowen, did it succeed?
It succeeded so much that I went 4 more times.
So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit this season. Plus, if you get tickets 6 weeks in advance, you get 30% off. And that's on Titanic math, girlfriend.
But seriously, who can wait that long? Go see it tomorrow. What are you waiting for? Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Well, spring is in full bloom. Are your finances blooming too?
With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest.
And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities for lower rates on loans, like for a car or a home.
You know what I love about the Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card?
What?
There are no annual fees, interest, or credit checks to apply.
Yes!
You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. Take back your finances. Build credit using your own money.
Yeah. Did you know that with Chime Credit Builder that you can get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit?
I did. You can also overdraft up to $200 without fees with SpotMe when you set up a qualifying direct deposit. Just set up a qualifying direct deposit, sign up for SpotMe, and Chime will spot you up to your limit when you make a credit card purchase or cash withdrawal that exceeds your balance.
With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at Chime.com/culturistas. That's Chime.com/culturistas. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to Chime.com/disclosures for details.
But I will say, I'm financially like an extremely unintelligent spender. Like, I will unfortunately, unethically, religiously shop clothes only on Amazon. Like, I don't think it's okay to like spend more than $50 for like a shirt. But like that being said, sure. I will cancel like 3 flights in a row and spend like several thousands of dollars just because I'm like so lazy and or like I'll miss something. So like that's where my money goes. Right. It's not like on things that matter. It's like convenience.
I actually am in the same exact boat as you. It's like totally I was just thinking to myself, like, what's the area where I sink the most money that I probably don't need to? And for me, it is travel. Like, right. I think just because now I like to travel a certain way. But that being said, that's the one I'm most cognizant of. If I actually like sat here and like did the math, how much I've spent on Postmates over the last few years, especially over the last few years because of the pandemic, my Postmates number is probably humiliating. I probably should go to jail for it.
Oh my God. Same. I would Postmate like when I was in college. I would like film Monday, Wednesday, and Friday all day. And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I would be in class for 12 hours a day. And I would Postmate breakfast, lunch, and dinner to my lecture halls.
Yeah.
And wow. It was like a young woman's salary in Iowa was my like Postmates.
But there was no other way you could have done that. Like you had such a crazy life and work sort of like ethic around like whatever, like that structure that was built around your job and your school and your academics were like, there was no other way but for you to order delivery.
That's true. Thank you for substantiating that.
Where did you go to college and what was your major?
Chapman, right?
I want to know.
I went to Chapman. Yeah, I went to Chapman and I was a television major, same major and same school as Hannah Waddingham, who was also nominated in my category
and
who also referred to me as Rosie when I met her.
Rosie Tota.
Yeah, and I was very, Rosie. She said, Rosie. Oh,
I was truly
amazing.
I was honored.
Oh, Rosie. You know, the rumor has it that she's going to be Madame Marble in the Wicked movie.
Well, she'll be amazing in anything she does. She's she'll so be talented. Amazing.
I can hear her going, officially.
Love.
I mean, what a great role. What a great role. I mean, Vibes. Matt, you should go out for it.
No.
But okay.
As we all know. No, never mind. I won't say that.
No, that's for the honesty
that's
zone.
That's for the
honesty
zone.
You should
zone.
Tune in for.
Tune in for the honesty.
Okay, Josie, now that you've graduated, have you reflected on your college experience at all? What was it? What are the big takeaways? What was it like for you? And this is true. You did Greek life. You were in a sorority.
I did. I was.
Okay, talk about it.
The trauma that just rushed through my mind.
I could
you
see
know, I have such an interesting, it really is like a film to be made, which was that when I started school, I think I did what a lot of people do when they start college, which is like, what is the life that I want? How do I want to make this life for myself? You know, it's like the addiction to the possibility, and you're doing yes. everything that you think you should be doing to have a good experience. And you're hanging out with, you know, those people that you've been told through like the media or like friends in the past, that like, that's what you do to enjoy life. And I'm actually so grateful for it, because I met my best friend in the entire world, Yasmin, who's my co-host of Dare We Say, through She's the great, sorority. Yeah. But I also had like a miniature microcosm experience of like what I think a lot of people, and like not equating what I did in my sorority to like what senators do on like a legislative floor, but in that like you can't really adjust and like change something that's like working how it's supposed to be working.
Right.
And I very yeah. much went into it, which was like, I'm going to make sororities good, and I'm going to like diversify and like whatever,
sure,
and like use that as sure. a pastime, and then realize like, even if everybody wants to make sororities good or whatever that means, or like change the systemic oppression that it's so rooted in, it's still built in a system to oppress, and it will always do that. So that was the journey that I went on with that. But I also right. had so many fun parties and like met a ton of cool people.
That's great. But it is sad to realize like, oh, it's maybe sororities are supposed to be not good.
I think so. And you like, know? I'm happy that I did it. I like, it's crazy now, because I truly had an ego death. My last semester of school, where like I realized I wanted to do every single thing that I didn't, which I think a lot of people do, every single thing that I didn't get to do up until that point that like right. I would have wanted to do if I didn't have
yeah.
like my blinders on telling me like what I needed to do. And that was like invest in the film school. And like, I took another Arabic class. I took a political science class, and mm-hmm. I just had like the most amazing time every weekend being on a film set. And like, I was, you know, obviously filming like, not real TV show, but like a TV show that existed on a network on it. Like, and then also doing like, mm-hmm. Being a grip on like a student film on the weekends at the same time, and like running back and forth. And that was such an amazing experience. And that was like my favorite probably.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
That is, it's like really a good excuse to get like, at least to not necessarily well-rounded, because I feel like that happens when you get in the industry and you already were in the industry. So it probably was like even like better opportunity for you to see like, having been involved in the industry, here are the holes where I would want to like, you know, have this experience or that experience. And then it ended up, you know, with you being a grip.
For sure, which like was insane. That was truly unhinged. It was like I was doing like an F45 workout that like never ended.
Yeah, and it's hard.
It was like boot camp. And like my grip guy was like making like jokes about like chicks to me, like as if I was like a cishet man. And he was like, "You're not gay?" And I was like, "No, I'm just gripping for to help out." And like,
I'm
just gripping.
Yeah.
What was like, your grip outfit? What would you wear? What would you wear to set as
yeah,
as
what grip? Was it giving?
I wore what is colloquial referred to as a Lululemon BBL jacket, which is
that's
like this.
Yeah, that's the colloquial like, term.
Exactly. It is. And on TikTok. And then like a little Align legging.
Ooh,
and
cute.
Just like a cute sneak.
It's giving soccer mom. It's giving Big Little Lies. It's giving like soccer mom in Monterey.
And I also had COVID the entire time that I was a grip on that project. And I had no idea. I had not one
Rosie,
idea. Because the test,
I kept testing
negative, and then I tested positive. But I didn't infect anyone.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's like sometimes like I will feel horrible and I'll be like, I have COVID. I know it. And then everyone right. around me will have COVID, and I'll test. I went to like what I found out later was a super spreader straight wedding last month. And I felt like horrible during it, after it. Like I was just like, what's going on? I took a million tests, never said it was COVID. And now I just have to keep living my life like I didn't have it again. But I'm like, but I know, what was
it's
it?
So weird. It's also weird too. Like, it seems like before everyone like tests positive for COVID, they managed to see like every single person they've ever met.
Yeah, from like high school. Yeah.
The hours leading up to it. Like, I went on a world tour before I tested positive. I like filmed an entire short film. I went to an after party for my castmates' film. I saw my parents. I saw my siblings. I like went to class. I went to several classes like unmasked because there was no mask mandate. And like, no, I texted every single person. And it's such a testament to like how we've evolved in the pandemic. I like put everyone in one of my classes in a group chat and was like, hey, just like wanted to like fully let you guys know, full disclosure, I did test positive for COVID. I know I was sitting next to you guys. Like, please let me know if I need to pay for any COVID tests or like any, if I need to call someone for you, hit me up at any time, like XOXO.
And she was offering like, to pay for tests. Oh my God. Above and beyond.
Like one person responded and was like, LOL. Okay. Like, and then no one else responded. Like, it was as if I had just said absolutely nothing to them. Like I had spoke gray matter and they like didn't give a fuck. And I just confessed my soul to them.
Wow.
Yeah, you were very vulnerable and they did not return it in kind.
They didn't care.
They didn't care. Well, okay. I have a stupid question, which is, was Disneyland like a big part of going to Chapman or no? Because you guys are close to Anaheim.
I thought it was going to be, and I even got a pass, and then I like never went. I think it is for some people, but it's kind of like, I don't know. It's like, why would you ever really go to Disneyland on an off day? If you think about it, if you could really do anything else, like, why would you want to tire yourself out that much for just virtually no reason?
Well, if you're going with the intent to like do a lot of stuff, you know what I mean? Like that's the thing is it's right. not a relaxing experience if you're going and you're like, and we got to hit all the rides.
But it's Bowen something, it's like an adventure.
Bowen and I have gone before and it's been like, we're just doing a leisurely walk. We're in California Adventure.
We're vibing.
We have our little cocktails. We've taken maybe some shrooms and we're more vibing. We're more just paying all that money to vibe.
I love that. I do love the vibe. And I did do a lot of shopping at Downtown Disney, I will say, because there's like no stores in Orange County that weren't ran by racists.
Right, right. Huge.
That is
deal.
A major thing you remember about Orange County is she be conservative.
Oh, my next door neighbor was fully a Trump supporter and I was surrounded.
Kirsten Dunst? No.
Kirsten Dunst, a Trump supporter. I was like neighbor banged by Blue Lives Matter people.
What?
Like I was surrounded by Blue Lives Matter people.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And just like, I had a little sexy secret of like, maybe one day I'll just like write trans on my forehead and see what happens because they were so nice to me. Cause I like, I'm obviously white passing and white presenting and like cis straight presenting. And I just like wanted to ruin their day. I dreamed of the day I would tell them.
Let me get over here and tell you the truth. I mean, but the expression neighbor banged is really one that's going to live rent free in my mind. Like the people on either side of you, like, Our neighbor banging you.
It's like hot bombs.
Wait, that's the title of an app. I thought it was Addiction to Possibility, but it's neighbor banged.
Neighbor banged.
You should always see what the guest says. Yeah. Exclamation point.
I mean, it could mean many things. One of which
really
was like a small dream that I had actually in quarantine. Again, not by Kirsten Dunst, but by the house to the left of me. Anyway, we're not going to get into it.
Why? Because is it a well-known person?
No. Actually, I think the mom is well known, but the child is not. Not the child. He's fully an adult. He's of age.
He's, of age to neighbor bang me, if that's what
I'm saying. He's like 24 years old. He's like a fully functioning adult that is legal. Anyway, it didn't happen.
Yes.
It didn't happen yet.
It didn't happen.
No.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst. Hey, everybody. During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs classic clogs and sandals have both covered.
And when we're talking about style, we mean personal style. There's just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood and to match your personality and to fit the occasion.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style.
And now let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than the Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
And what more could you ask for? Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Titanic is NYC's funniest night out. Plus, it's the winner of multiple awards, including the Las Culturistas Kimberly Akimbo Award for Best Indoor Live Performance.
Titanic is a parody musical that answers the question of what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night aboard the Titanic.
My life was improved by seeing Titanic, so much so that I reached out to my best friend, Bowen Yang, to improve his life. And Bowen, did it succeed?
It succeeded so much that I went four more times.
So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit this season. Plus, if you get tickets 6 weeks in advance, you get 30% off. And that's on Titanic math, girlfriend.
But seriously, who can wait that long? Go see it tomorrow. What are you waiting for? Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com. Hey, it's Bowen, and I want to introduce you to the new Cantina Chicken menu at Taco Bell. Yes, it's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients, great as a lunchtime option. Taste for yourself the slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. With new menu options like Cantina Chicken Tacos, burritos, and quesadillas, there's something for everyone. And Taco Bell isn't just for a late night. With this new Cantina Chicken menu, the possibilities are, well, endless. Try the new Cantina Chicken menu at Taco Bell now. Now, I said.
Speaking of it didn't happen yet, one segment on this podcast that hasn't happened yet is called I Don't Think So, Honey. And it is a 60-second segment that we all do where we take a minute, which is actually colloquially known as also 60 seconds, and we sort of rant and rail against something in pop culture that we absolutely can't believe hasn't been taken down at this juncture. I do have something, Bowen Yang.
Okay, this is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, Teresa Giudice's hair at her wedding, and therefore all tri-state area women's hair at their wedding when they decide to really go for it. We need to take a step back. And I'm talking to all you girls getting ready for the prom in the tri-state area. Everyone getting ready for an event in the tri-state area, if you decide to go big and you tell a Long Island or Jersey hairstylist that, you will end up with what happened to Teresa Giudice's head. I swear to God. And knowing Teresa Giudice from The Real Housewives of New Jersey,
30 seconds.
It's not like she knows what camp is. It's not like she turned to her makeup artist and hairstylist and said, let's go camp. No, someone was either fucking with her or they were just a Jersey hairstylist that really got licensed to go for it. And I'm telling you, look
seconds.
At the pictures. Speaking about this wedding as a whole, I can't believe Melissa and Joe weren't there. I can't wait for the new season. I can't believe Jackie and Margaret were there and Melissa and Joe were not.
5 seconds.
I need to see what happens. But for what I'm seeing right now is all that hair. Tri-state area women, take a breath. I don't think so,
honey. And that's
honey.
1 minute.
Honestly, have you seen the pictures?
Amazing. I just saw that article.
It's incredible.
It's
Bowen.
It's truly shocking. I mean, your jaw drops. I've seen it multiple times in the last like 12 hours. And I'm like, oh my God. Every time I'm like, wow, that's so much hair.
because it's truly the biggest deal wedding of the year in that entire state. I mean, like Dave Mazzoni was joking earlier that like he's on the Jersey Shore right now and people are talking about it everywhere you go as if she's Princess
Di. It's the royal wedding.
Yeah, like it's the royal wedding. And then they released some video of her coming out of the church because I guess she got married outside the church. They open the doors and she's looking down and she just looks up and her hair is so big and you just hear the crowd audibly gasp like, and it's just like, it truly is like a Jersey fever dream, but knowing it's Teresa and like all the like drama around this wedding and the fact that her dear family is not there because of falling out, I just couldn't believe it. And just understanding like how heavy that has to feel on your head.
Right.
Oh my God. Oh wow.
Like,
yeah, that's, she was in pain all night.
And you guys are both wigs queens, I would imagine, occasionally, right?
I'd say so.
I mean, I know what it's like to have them. Yeah.
But like they're heavy when they're big, and they're heavier.
It's painful.
Well, if they're expensive, if they're nice enough, they're not heavy.
Oh, I guess that's true.
But also just having a wig on period for an extended amount of time is just uncomfortable.
No, it's so comfortable and you're sweating and it's like pinning in your head and it's not the good kind of pain.
I just couldn't believe that she was like, yes, this is what's going to make me feel the best on my wedding day. And it has to be, I'm going to say, like a solid 4 feet of hair. Like it's like,
100%.
And it's high too. Are you a housewives person, Josie?
I'm going to look up. I unfortunately like am against all like queer stereotypes. I've watched a full episode of RuPaul's or Housewives, but
that's okay.
I'm fine.
So in the know. I'm very in the know. Like obviously I'm very into Utah and everything that's going on with What's Her Fuck in her West.
Jen Shah, What's Her Fuck?
And obviously Teresa, I know very well as I like religiously watched Wendy Williams report on her for several years.
I see.
Wendy was like, obsessed.
I'm sort of an adjacent stan.
Right, I got it. Well, so you're aware of what this wedding means and how she's chosen to appear at it.
100%.
A very visible wedding. That's the thing. It's like she knew there was going to be eyes on it.
Yeah. And also the thing
is, you know what? We're talking about it.
We're talking about it, but I will say having been from Long Island, like some people I knew, like going to prom and stuff, like it's like the like beautiful girls, like very pretty girls, and then they get ready for prom and it's like they've given someone license to put like someone else, an adult woman's face on her face and like really blow it out. And like I'll tell you, the changes in skin color that happen, what I want to tell people is that you are never going to look good orange. Orange is not the skin tone for anyone. And you'd think that you'd at least reach back to your four sisters and say, hey, how do I avoid looking like you did on this event that is going to be photographed a lot? And it's like no one has the answer. They keep going. They keep becoming orange. Like it's
We're stuck.
And it sucks because like, I mean, I've seen it happen to people close to me where it's just like, oh yeah, getting ready for a sweet 16 or a prom or like to be a bridesmaid. And they come out and you're like, Deborah, what? Oh. You're like, well, who are you, mom? Like, I don't recognize these girls.
I know. I mean, no one looks their best at that time. That's the other thing.
Yeah, no one looks their best for the biggest event of their life because you try too hard.
Right. That's why people always say like your birthday glam is like always uglier than like your everyday glam.
Yes.
Like I feel like men think that secretly. They're like, I love thinking about what men think about, you know, because I'm so concerned with like the male gaze.
Uh-huh, I mean, and they're like, yeah, when they get dressed up too much, it doesn't look so good. And that's one area where we should listen to them. Oh,
exactly. I know.
I had to talk about what Teresa appeared as. Bowen Yang, are you ready to do I Don't Think So, Honey?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, this is a great moment for us all. It's Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. And his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Republic Records, which is a division of Universal Music Group, for stalling this Kim Petras album and leaving it in this limbo for 2 years. It leaked this past week and it's excellent. It's a very good album. I don't know how much this has to do with Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke, who produced, I think, all of it. That's also a problem. I mean, my hope is that this frees up Kim to work with other producers, because I think she is aware. And speaking as someone who's like talked to her about this, not to name drop, but it's like, I think it's a good time for her to kind of disengage from that system, because it has obviously given her so much, but I think it has also stunted a lot of progress in her career by not letting her release this album. There's great songs on it. My recommendations are Problematic, the title track of the album, obviously Coconuts, Future Starts Now, Deeper is an amazing song, Sex Talk. Anyway, it's a great album, but it's also a tragic moment in her career. And I hope she rises from the ashes of this.
And that's 1 minute. I too listened to it and enjoyed it a lot, but I only listened to it because she basically tweeted out being like, hey, yeah, go ahead, listen to the leaked album, because they're not letting me put it out anyway.
What is the deal with labels doing that?
It's tough. I think it's...
I don't know.
Like, it's like a money thing, because I watched a video about SZA's album never, like her album never getting released.
Right.
And it's because her album alone is like, without, it's a 5-year-old album, it's still like the top 5 female selling albums every single year.
Oh, Control. Since
since she released it. And so there's no point of them to bring it back.
It's so confounding. I really don't get this damn industry. None of it makes sense to me.
It's all
about bottom line shit. It's always about bottom line stuff.
That's the thing, is it seems like it has to all be about like, well, if we're going to put this out, it has to immediately recoup. And like, I feel like the people that are making the decisions on whether or not this music is going to be embraced often aren't the audience for that music.
Exactly. And so
that's, I guess, what's weird about it, is it's just like, if the people that own these labels are like a certain type of person, like, they're not going to understand, especially with music, which is so personal and so subjective. It's like you're making decisions about what's going to work, but it's like, it's not your thing. So how could you gauge whether or not someone who's like really young and a different type of consumer is going to like this? But it seems like they're comfortable doing that all the time.
Right. It's crazy. Anyway,
I mean, but yeah, her album sounds great. And I do hope for more for her, because I think she's a great pop star. Like, and I've seen her live, and she's
incredible.
Got an amazing voice live, and
she's so amazing. She's such a fucking legend.
She's so incredible.
And speaking of being on dramas and not being able to be crazy, I did rap last Friday night and played "Treat Me Like a Slut" out loud, and then just immediately saw the eyes turn at me, and I was just like, "Yeah, fucking suck it."
Yeah.
And I walked outside of my Scottish warehouse. I was proud.
Honestly, it might be the first time the Scottish like countryside, the Edinburgh of it all, like have heard "Treat Me Like a Slut."
I think they were grateful. I mean, that's what I'd hope.
I think so.
I think anyone should be grateful to hear "Treat Me Like a Slut." I loved Slut Pop. I mean, Slut Pop was huge for me. It was a great moment in music of this year, I felt.
Agree.
All right, so it's now become time. It's time for Josie Toda's "I Don't Think So, Honey." Now that you've had two examples of how to absolutely slay the format.
Watching you have a fucking seizure.
Okay, perf. All right, Bowen, you want to I'd be really happy if you haven't had any type of health emergency since your incredible performance in Other People, and now your incredible performance today is being accompanied by another health hazard. I love it.
I know, that would be amazing.
Okay.
That would be amazing. This is Josie Toda, aka Rosie's. Yes, I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
Okay, this is my "I Don't Think So, Honey." Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson welcomed their second baby via surrogate. And as a woman, I believe it is very important not to comment on other women's relationships, because you just never know what's going on inside. However, this time I'm going to. And
please.
I feel that this is necessary, because even though that she's welcoming the baby via a surrogate, I think about it like the fact that when I was very, very young, I did get a slight nose tweak while getting a breathing surgery. And which is why I thank God that I am trans and I can't have my own child, because I couldn't bear having my child look like me pre-nose job. And so I'm like, when you have this baby, even though it's a surrogate baby, he's still going to have the DNA of a cheater and is going to grow up to be as despicable as Tristan Thompson is.
Oh, and my God.
For that, I say that I'm disappointed. I mean, I still wish her all the best, but ultimately, I kind of just have to say that I feel bad for her in that way, and I don't think so, honey.
Period.
That's 1 minute.
Honestly, wow, I have so many questions about the Kardashian women and But then I don't, because I understand why they pick who they pick, because none of them are going to last and they're going to have another media narrative after this. So like, I think like it's, I think it's entirely,
it's seasonal.
It's entirely by design that Kim Kardashian is like, yeah, I picked Pete Davidson. Like, you know what I mean? Like someone that it's crazy. Like, duh, of course there's an expiration date on it. It's Pete. And then like, and then we're all watching it. Like maybe this is the one. It's like, let's not be dumb. Like they do this on purpose. Like Chloe picks this type of guy, not because she wants to be happy, because she wants to prolong a media narrative. I think.
You think? I honestly think that she is just a confused queen. Like I truly believe Chloe is a good person. And I just, everyone says they miss the old, they miss, well, it sounds like you're saying she should die. no, I think that she is good intentioned. I just think when, I just think she has a really bad like attachment style and it has gone to her and she has crippling anxiety and she's also very insecure because the world sort of does hate her in some ways and does hate on her much more than her other sisters do. Because people like love hate on Kim Kardashian, but they hate Khloe.
Do they? I love Khloe.
No, people come for Khloe in her looks.
Really?
More than they do any of her sisters. And even Kim has said that.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I guess I understand like that that's true, but also feel like Khloe is like the Kardashian of the people. And I feel like probably the hardcore fans of the Kardashians, like gun to their head if they had to say who their favorite Kardashian is. Like, I bet Khloe would get a ton, or maybe even a majority of those votes. But then I'm not even thinking about like the larger populace that are all familiar with them just because of how they exist. And yeah, probably it is tough for her.
No, but I agree with you. And I think that's a testament to like when you like let people think that like they can be your best friend or that they can just like say anything to you. It's like very welcoming and warm, but it also allows people to cross boundaries and like come for you. So what I'm saying is it's her fault.
Oh, we know that. We know that. It's yeah, that's what you're saying. Kidding. But what a big week for those, for at least the three Kardashian sisters.
Right.
Kim and Khloe and Courtney with the whole Megan Fox thing. I'm like, what is, something's going on just in this week alone. I don't know. It's always wild.
Well, I guess my perspective on it is just like, whenever I hear they're dating someone new, because I'm not like a fan of the Kardashians. Like I'm not, it's kind of like you with watching, like I'm aware enough of like what goes on with them. Like, but every time I hear them dating someone new, whether it's Tristan Thompson or Travis Scott or Travis Barker or Pete Davidson or like whoever, I'm always just like, not only do they feel interchangeable to me, but they're often just like, every relationship has the same vibe of like it, because it's all so transient. And if you choose to not like actually think about like what their relationships are like, it all feels the same. And if you just sit with it and don't think about it for like 9 months, it will have passed and it gets, it like is filled by someone else almost immediately.
Renewed, yeah.
Even the Kanye thing in the grand scheme didn't feel like it was taking place over that long a period of time. Cause it was just like, yeah. And I still remember her dating Chris Humphries and being married to him. I still like,
oh my God.
It's just like
70 days.
They occupy this weird space where I'm just like, who are they dating? Oh, it's like, I keep forgetting, but also I always know. It's just, it's this weird thing. I can't really explain it.
True. I agree. And it's hard to keep up with. And I feel like for most people's mental health, it's probably easiest not to, even though it's hard to. But I was just saying in another interview that I feel like Pete's next angle should be like a really hot old person, like Jane Fonda or like Cher. Like, I just feel like that would make the most sense for me, or like Celine Dion.
Yeah, where does he like go that? From?
He loves to Jane me, Fonda. He
to
loves
me,
Jane
that's
Fonda.
Where he should that's go. Because you can't, after Kim that's Kardashian, good. you kind of have to go like either really old, or I mean, I guess I think really old.
Yeah.
You can't date an infant, obviously.
What's going to happen is he's going to reinvent. He's going to have all of his tattoos removed. He's going to reinvent as a Hollywood leading man. He's going to bulk up a little bit.
Well, he has a role coming Marvel. Out. I think it honestly helps him that he's not dating her for when that movie comes out where he's like playing that singer.
Pete's a good actor.
Wait, Joey Ramone. That's what he's playing.
Oh, yeah. He's, wow, I didn't realize.
Academy Award nominee. Like, here it is coming right around the corner. So listen, dare we say this was an excellent episode of this podcast. And the podcast, dare we say, is going to be one that you're going to want in your immediate rotation. And I'm imploring all the readers to add this one to the damn queue.
Please.
I mean, please read away. Read the house down boots. And
yeah.
I'm so grateful that you guys allowed me on this Zoom call. And I'm so happy to be in the podcast space. And I'd love for you guys to come on our pod.
I think we accept.
Anytime.
We could accept. I don't think so, honey. Girl boss to the sky, to the sun.
Girl boss to the sky. To the sun.
I would love that.
Yeah.
That sounds like an incredible opportunity for all of us to girl boss to the skies. With
and I can't wait to lose at another award show with you again.
Well, I can't wait. And to be...
And by the way, congratulations on your Emmy nom.
Yes.
Oh, that... But see, that's already something that I'll lose. But
no,
I,
that's not true. No. Take the comp. Take the compliment.
Thank you. You deserve it.
But also, randomly, I just realized I just reprimanded you the way that I just stomped you there. That was like kind of hot.
I love it. I love when people come in and
it's iconic.
Dom Bowen when he's being
kind of hot. The way that I just was, that was like a power top.
It was hot and powerful top.
Yes.
But something that I thought was really funny, I was like, I was filming like 2 weeks ago and I got a text from my mom like when the Emmy noms came out or whatever. And my mom was like, oh, did you text Bowen? Congrats. And I'm like, I'm not like that good of friends. I'm not like super close with Bowen.
Now we are.
Where I would text him congratulations. Like, of course, I would DM you on Instagram or like swipe up on something. But and then like I didn't respond to her because I was filming. And she texted me that night and was like, have you texted Bowen yet? And I'm like,
I love
it. Now I'm telling you congrats for my mother on your Emmy nomination.
That's very nice.
And from every mom in America, congrats to you, Bowen.
And congrats to you. Yes, exactly. Thank you.
I was going to say, I can't wait to lose at another award ceremony with you, with both of you, and to be neighbor banged by Joshua Jackson and Jodie Turner-Smith.
Oh,
can only hope. This has been incredible. And thank you so much for coming on. We're Mage fans. And Bo, we end every episode with a song.
Treat me like a slut.
I'm little a dirty bitch. I love to fuck. Treat me like a slut.
Treat me like a slut.
Dirty bitch. I love to fuck.
Little dirty bitch. I love to fuck.
And if you want to hear more, harder.
I want to
harder. If you want to neighbor bang.
If you want to hear more of that, listen to Slut Pop, the extended play by Kim Petras.
Thank you. Bye.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms. Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, add images, graphics, charts, and data visualizations from the massive media library. It's easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations. Canva presentations are perfect for any deck you want to design for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can nail their presentation with Canva presentations. Perfect, record, and share a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. You'll appear in a video as a talking head on the slide, and it's the perfect solution if you can't be present in person or if time zones are tricky. Nail your next work presentation with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.